12:30. So good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Special Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McEwen, and I will be chairing this meeting. Before we begin the meeting, I'll share some sad news that one of our former councillors, Councillor Andrew Harp, has passed away. Prominent member of this planning committee for many years and indeed chaired this committee. So if I could ask you to stand for 1 minute, please. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, just before we get into the nitty gritty, sorry, Anne, for springing that on you. Just a couple of points then before we get going. If you have a mobile phone, please set it to silent or turn it off. And can I ask that members in the public gallery to refrain from commenting during the conversations. On my right, I have officers from the planning department who will present the planning applications, and on my left, officers from the law and governance department. Officers from the planning department will present each application as it appears on the agenda, and members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 10 minutes. I will indicate when there is 1 minute to go if you get to the ninth minute. Ward members are entitled to speak also for 10 minutes. An audio recording has been taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any of the immunity as is enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them, in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the Local Plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. So we now move on to the agenda proper. The first item on the agenda is planning application 2439 Afghan Logo. We're not going to do some apologies first of all. Have we any apologies?
Councillor Fordham, substituted by Councillor Hood.
Right. Sorry, any declarations of interest or lobbying by anyone? Right. Thank you, Lucy. Ever my mentor. So, planning application 24/39369, demolition of Guildhall Shopping Centre, Market Square. Richard Wood? Ed. So.
Thank you. This application is referred to the committee as it's classified as a large-scale major development and Stafford Borough Council is the applicant. The proposed development comprises the wholesale demolition of the Guildhall Shopping Centre, multi-storey car park and St John's Indoor Market. The Market Square facade and front section of the shopping centre, the Wesleyan Chapel clock tower are omitted from the application site and would be retained, as would the historic St John's Market entrances. The buildings fronting Crabbery Street and St Mary's Grove do not form part of the application and they are to be retained. So, onto the presentation. The plan and aerial view show the location of the Guildhall Shopping Centre within the town centre. As you can see, the site lies between Stafford College on the west, St Mary's Church to the south and Market Square to the east. Photo plan shows the location of the following eight photographs. They're taken on a clockwise loop around, anti-clockwise loop around the site as the committee went earlier. The first is a view from Market Square. The historic facade shown here is to be retained. The first of the St John's Market entrance on Cranberry Street to be retained. Another view from Cranberry Street, the second St John's Market entrance is on the left, the former Noah's Ark in next to it, and then the Guildhall Shopping Centre building at the rear, which is part of the building to be demolished. A full view of the second St John's Market entrance to be retained. The Wesleyan Chapel clock tower with the Guildhall building and the multi-storey car park either side. The service yard at the rear of the market with the entrance to the multi-storey car park in the background and the new Stafford College building on the right-hand side of Earl Street. A view from St Mary's Churchyard with the Guildhall buildings at the rear. The trees in the background are those referred to in the officer's report. And the building on the far right, you can see just about see the three windows behind the trees, is just outside of the application site. And a final view of the Guildhall Shopping Centre from the churchyard, showing the proximity of the trees to the building itself. Plan one is the application site boundary in red. This is the proposed site plan. It shows elements to be retained, the proposed hoarding with two site access gates and the fire escape routes for elements to be retained. Plan two is the proposed elevations indicating the extent of the demolition and the structures to be retained. Working left to right from the top, these include St Mary's Grove and the Churchyard street scenes, Earl Street, Broad Street, Chapel Street, Cranberry Street and Market Square. And the final plan, the blue shaded area is to be demolished and the green shaded areas are to be retained. There's been one representation since the agenda was published, a member of the public stating that they don't believe the statutory public consultation has been carried out with regard to the closure of the market, and that the application should not be determined until this has been carried out. With regard to the planning application, the local planning authority has carried out the statutory duty of public consultation, and that this matter is not relevant to the determination of the application before you. The recommendation is that the application be approved, subject to conditions as set out in the officer's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you. Right, members of the public, we have one person who's put themselves forward to speak, Mr. Paul Shuka, who is supporting the application. You have 10 minutes.
Thank you.
When you get to the 9 minutes, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. On behalf of the applicant, Stafford Borough Council's regeneration team, I'm delighted to be here today to present and support the position in the committee report today. The applicant fully endorses the committee report, which is reflective of the work that's been undertaken in the design and technical work over several months. The application being considered today is to demolish the Guildhall Shopping Centre, which represents one of the key phases in the redevelopment and regeneration of Stafford Town Centre, which is being funded by the Central Government's Initiative Future High Streets Fund. The funding was used by Stafford Borough Council to purchase the Guildhall from Mercia earlier this year, as well as requiring the neighbouring former Co-op department store. It became clear in 2023 that the previous owner, Mercia, were unable to kickstart the regeneration of the key town centre site. Therefore, Stafford Borough Council rightly intervened. This is the same source of central funding which has been facilitated for the renewal of the Market Square, and also the Stafford Station approach also regenerated. It's important to consider the mechanisms for the Future High Street Fund, which stipulates that the deadline of the 30th September 2024 for recipients to commit the funding to a project as an incentive to deliver schemes in a timely manner. In this context, it's been crucial for Stafford Borough Council to have a tangible plan in place for phase one for the redevelopment of the Guildhall. Therefore, should this demolition application be considered today and be approved, it will constitute an active project which will protect the allocated fund funding and kickstart a new journey for the future of the town centre. Stafford Borough Council are committed to delivering a high quality sustainable regeneration project within the town centre, which will take place over the Guildhall and the former co-op sites. This will be in the form of a mixed-use scheme, providing town centre residential opportunity, enhanced public realm, and a new fit-for-purpose commercial use and offer. To ensure the master plan for this project responds to the exact future needs of Stafford, further analysis is being carried out as of now to define how that town centre, how the town centre is used and understood by both residents, businesses, and visitors, which will in turn define the future development strategy. The design and client team are working continuously to ensure a mixed-use scheme is deliverable and achieves the aims of the High Street Fund to renew and reshape the town centre in a way that drives growth, improves user experience and ensures future sustainability, which can only be achieved through a comprehensive scheme. The opportunity represented by the Future High Street Fund is transformative, and any subsequent proposals that follow the establishment stage offer future consideration and at an appropriate time will be presented to Cabinet and members. As a result of the changing customer and structural shopping patterns and behaviour of the last 10 years, compounded by the COVID pandemic a number of years ago, there has been a significant challenge with retail within Stafford. Stafford Town Centre is not alone in this. This has been experienced across the country and across many cities in the UK. The new scheme will reimagine this central site, focusing in on both transactional and non-transactional based commercial units and residential opportunities, which will create a new vibrance to the town centre for the future. The application to demolish the Guildhall is therefore the first step of this journey in achieving this vision of wider growth. Following the approval of the prior approval for demolition for the former co-op department only at committee in September. As confirmed in the committee report, there are no objections from statutory consultees. The council's regeneration team have worked proactively with the case officer and taken careful consideration over various sensitive elements to the project. This includes the ecology assessment, which did identify bat roosts within some of the areas of the Guildhall, with subsequent mitigation strategies agreed with the county ecologists and also subject to Natural England licensing. The location of site within Stafford Town Centre Conservation Area has also been a key consideration throughout the process, and we have successfully achieved a demolition strategy which decouples the Guildhall building from the nearby listed buildings along Crabbery Street and St Mary's Grove, preserving and protecting the character of the conservation area and these key buildings. A construction environmental management plan sets out the methodology of the proposed works and the mitigation measures that will be taken to protect these sensitive elements of the site. The plan sets out a demolition programme which will make effective use of the significant space across both sites, including the existing car park. This is entailed to reduce the vehicle impact on the surrounding road network during these times. A restoration plan has also been put in place to ensure that the site is restored post-demolition and we were ready for redevelopment once the future scheme is fixed and secured. As the key consultees, the case officers recognised within the committee report, the demolition of the Guildhall will facilitate a programme with considerable public benefit, which outweighs the temporary disruption from the demolition itself. In closing, we would like to confirm our endorsement of the committee report and the conditions which have been put forward, and look forward to progressing the wider regeneration of this important site over the next 6 months, during which time more information will be provided.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, time for members. We've been on a site visit today. You've seen it for yourself. Who wants to speak first? Councillor Cross.
Initially I was quite surprised when I saw that the market was closing with 3 weeks' notice. However, I can understand why, having heard the presentation, that it's to do with the future High Street funding. But as our officer said, consultation has taken place within the regulations. Therefore, I can find no objection against the scheme.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Phillips.
I respect the comments that my fellow councillor has just made. However, personally, it feels a little bit distasteful to be sitting around this application just a few days after the market traders have ceased to trade. And I do wonder why it is that there is that crossover of dates if we only need to secure the planning permission, why it is that the market's already gone. Is there any reason for that as far as this process is concerned?
You want to take that?
I think what you need to remember, Councillor Phillips, is what the purpose of this planning committee is. It's not a policy committee. It's not a decision on the market itself. Your consideration is purely on the application that's in front of you. So the question you're asking in terms of the market is not for this committee.
Councillor Hood.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to just comment on solely what we're here to comment on. On the site visit this morning, it actually made you realise what beautiful architecture and really old buildings that we have in the town. And I know I did make a comment about McDonald's next to the ancient High House, which hopefully we won't have the likes of when we have the new development. Having read the report, and as I say, and gone on the site visit, I'm feeling really excited that we're going to get rid of some of these really dated buildings, but I'm not talking about buildings that are so beautifully old and fit in to an old market town. I think we're very lucky that the consideration into this demolition has been going to be brought to a conclusion today with whichever way the committee votes. But I can't wait for various parts of the buildings, which Ed has very kindly shown us today, to go and embark on a new future for the town. I'm particularly excited and was very curious about the hand demolition, which shows how seriously we take our old buildings and how much we've got to protect them. And I don't know whether I'm being premature here, but I will say at this point I do support this plan today, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Tony Nixon.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, I support the application as well. My one concern would be that during this process, which is going to take some time, the hoardings that are going to be put up around with the site, I think would be liable to deteriorate somewhat, and perhaps we could secure by a condition that they be maintained in a visually well-looking appearance, and perhaps with viewing panels in so the public can actually see what's going on.
Yeah.
Would that be possible?
Yeah, that would be entirely reasonable if the committee were minded to resolve to include another condition in terms of the details of the hoardings, maintenance and viewing panes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, sorry, do you want to speak?
Well, in that case, I'll propose we approve the application with those conditions.
Okay. I'll just make one, picking up on the hoardings then. Yes, that they will be the thing that faces out to the public. And I like the idea of the observation portals in there so people can see what's happening behind the hoardings. It's important that the hoardings themselves are maintained in good condition and possibly even an advertising space to say what's coming in the future. And the most important thing, if we do approve it, is how quickly we can get the regeneration going afterwards. And I think that would be the test. And if we can pass that test, the public will have a great facility.
Yeah.
Councillor Spencer.
I'll second Councillor Nixon's proposal.
Okay. Ed's just reminding me. Page 27.9. Within 9 calendar months of the commencement, the approved scheme shall be informed by the archaeological findings at the site and presented on the site hoardings until their removal from the site. So there will be some interaction between what's happening behind the hoardings and people looking at the hoardings. So if I've got it right, then we've had a proposer and a seconder to approve the application as set out with that slight change on the conditions in terms of the annual review.
Additions,
yeah. So, all those in favour of approval, please show. Thank you very much. That's unanimous. Well done. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Good. So we have a second item on the agenda, planning application 23/38005, former Method Power Station in Method. We again had a site visit there this morning. And Richard, are you going to take us through this one? Okay, Richard.
This application seeks to deliver an area of ecological enhancement with the features listed under paragraph 3.1 in the agenda, which includes ponds and herbivernacular.
Read it on your report.
Yeah. on a site of open grassland and trees, which is located within the North Staffordshire Greenbelt. You can see the area on the screen in red, which again is shown on the aerial. We walked up the track here to the substation. We stood on the bridge where we looked along the canal and we observed the railway line as two boundary features. And we also pointed out that this area supports the wider development of the Method Business Park, which is to the southwest here. The site is required of the as part of the mitigation for the wider site and for great crested newts under a district licence, which condition 5 refers to. Access will be from Method Road, which we walked up, and the Highway Authority raised no objection to that arrangement subject to conditions. The proposal is considered to have a neutral effect on the openness of the green belt. And the Canal and Rivers Trust, conditions 8 and 9 in the report, recommend a number of conditions to avoid damage to the canal watercourse for the reasons set out in paragraph 3.3. However, measures to include the structural integrity of the bridge were not considered to be reasonable. Now, just in relation to a matter that arose on site, where we observed a number of people digging out the watercourse. Can I just refer you to page 44 on the agenda? And it's condition 8, and this is one of the conditions which has been requested by the Canal and Rivers Trust, that no development shall commence unless and until a method statement to demonstrate that any construction operations will not adversely affect the stability of the infrastructure of the adjacent canal and its water quality. And then if you look at the third bullet point down, which includes details of how culvert 49, and that was the watercourse which we observed, and the upstream culvert beneath the access will be protected from blockage obstruction during the construction work. So in terms of what the members of the public or the Stone Ramblers Association were saying, I feel this part of the condition addresses what their concerns were on site, just to highlight that fact. So from the photo plan, you can see we have three images. This is an old version, sorry, of the presentation where photos 2 and 3 are actually in the wrong order. So this is the routes that we walked with the arrow here. It's approximately where we stood. So this is another one. So that's the site entrance where we went in. This is looking from the south of the site, looking towards the north, and this is actually looking at the gated access with the railway line on the abutment here. So this is just shows the wider location plan. This is the another plan which shows the sequence of ponds, etc. And perhaps this is one which is better legible to a certain extent. The orange are the hibiconacula, and along and these are the sections of the 9 ponds that are proposed. The application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
We have Mr. James Bonner, who registered to speak in support of the application.
Thank you, Chair.
James, you have 10 minutes. We'll let you know when you get to 9. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this afternoon. Since Council granted permission for the redevelopment of the former power station site, my client has invested significant time and money to implement this, with work continuing as we speak to construct the first 2 units. The scheme in front of you today is for an off-site ecological area that will help to unlock the later phases of the employment site. It will deliver a number of ecological benefits through the creation of habitats for great crested newts and vertebrates and other species, alongside the contribution towards a wider biodiversity net gain for the site. Proposals will have a relatively short construction period, and ongoing access will be limited to maintenance to ensure the area is managed in line with ecologists' recommendations for 30 years. Its impacts are therefore very limited and can be controlled by condition. And this is reflected by there being no objections for any statutory consultees. We support your officer's recommendations to approve this application, which will not only deliver ecological enhancements, but will facilitate new jobs and economic growth by unlocking the wider consented employment site. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Sweet, hopefully.
Absolutely. Good. You've been there to site, you've heard the officer report, you've heard from James, who wants to start the ball rolling. Councillor Garth Jones.
I welcome this proposal. I think it's something that I've not come across before in this form, and I think that it's something that that is to be welcomed. I see that there were 97 people consulted. This application is taken as being one for Stone Rural, but I can't imagine that there are 97 people in Stone Rural that would have been consulted on this. I think they must be Barlaston residents. Can I have confirmation of that, please?
I don't have access to the neighbour spread. It is one of the software packages we use, but I couldn't confirm that at this time. I don't have access to that information at this point.
And presumably, if I can continue, this work is undertaken, or this responsibility emanates from some legislation or other, and I have. What is the legislation that governs the creation of this sort of facility where you're talking about the development of a massive industrial or ex-industrial site?
Well, this site's been going on for so many years now.
You mean the Mefford site?
The main power station site. That I think when that was envisaged, ecological regulations have changed significantly since then. The most significant at this point in time is the biodiversity net gain regulations, but this application is actually exempt from them because it was made before those came in February this year. But this is purely about ecological enhancement, so it would probably meet those 10% increased requirements anyway.
So is there some sort of mechanism whereby somebody more expert than us will be able to judge that the effect of this work will actually yield the ecological benefits that are envisaged, and that there is value for money from the expenditure, and is value for money something that this committee should be involved with?
Well, this application seeks to compensate losses on site now to bring the development up to a standard ecologically which is now required. Part of that comes with the difference in the legislation which surrounds Great Crested Newt. Now they're dealt with. Now on page 43, condition 5, that refers to the district licence, and that's integral within this scheme. So in order to adequately mitigate newts through the district licence, we have to do these works in order to, as the agent has just spoken about, to unlock the site to develop.
Thank you, Richard. Councillor Anne Hobson, then I think we've got you.
I think the ecological enhancement area, the whole idea of it sounds brilliant. It's an excellent idea. But I don't understand about the crushed concrete. And it said there's going to be laboratory analysis and interpretation. And I just think, how's that going to enhance the environment? And isn't concrete quite polluting? And yes, you're going to check it, but why take the risk? And how's that going to look, you know, like a bunch of dumped concrete? I mean,
I'll have a go at answering that. I may ask the James to come in for clarification at some point. So on the screen and in the handout that I gave on the bus, we have this feature here. Which, because the site has been left so long, the actual power station site, ecology has grown on that, and what is intended is that crushed concrete from the site will be taken to this site to kind of recreate the habitat that's been lost through the development of that site. But as a security, that material has to be laboratory tested to make sure that there are no contamination impacts. Is that adequate?
Would you like a bit of clarification on that one?
So there's something in biodiversity net gain terms. So as Richard has said, it's very much a multi-purpose area that addresses habitat creation to address habitat loss for newts and other species. But one aspect of biodiversity net gain is that there's something called the trading rule. So where you've lost a habitat on site, which is effectively gravelly, previously developed, what looks a bit like a mess, to be honest, some people might say, that actually has quite high value in terms of invertebrates and different species. So some ground nesting birds like gravelly sites, like lapwings, but in this particular area it's more about invertebrates like butterflies and other insects, that if we're losing some of those areas on the site, we need to create some of those areas on this part of what we refer to as Blue Line 1, but there's other parts of the site where we're creating these pockets of what it refers to as open mosaic, previously developed land.
Yes, I've seen that with trees and logs.
So it's a bit perverse, really, is that in order to create compensation for this, you basically have to ruin another area of green field land that isn't previously developed. So we've sort of struck the right balance here of providing bits of open mosaic land without just getting a grassland and just concreting it over and creating gravel. So it's trying to find that right balance of some open mosaic, some ponds for newts, some high vernacular, which are basically places for invertebrates to hide over winter. So that's the balance, but
thank you.
Hopefully we struck the right balance.
Councillor Scott Spencer.
Though I welcome this development, I think we have to move away from the words enhancement and biodiversity net gain, but it's essentially it's a statutory requirement for them to do this. And what I don't want to, from this, I wouldn't, although they're outside of the biodiversity net gain requirements, I think we've just got to remember this is just a translocation, it's not an enhancement of the wider site, but the wider site is significantly more biodiverse than this site could ever possibly be because the construction is taking place. So what I wouldn't like this application to offset any further works of an enhancement of inverted commas that the wider site has to adhere to. Can we have some sort of assurance that this isn't just going to offset any other potential habitats that could be lost and would also need to be translocated?
Do you want James to answer that?
As far as I'm aware, we've done phase 1A, James, for 9 units. We do have a phase 2 to come on board, but I think what the idea of is that this site offsets both of those phases for the whole site.
Yeah,
is that
so
correct?
It's obviously quite a complicated site, and the phasing of the ecology work is all driven by the district level license, and this in particular is around when you can destroy certain habitats on site, i.e. existing ponds. But as Richard says, this is designed to mitigate the whole of the site as complete. So it's not a case of we're going to do this now and then we'll come back to you in a few months or a year's time. So actually we need to destroy some more of the site, so here's another application. This is part of the wider comprehensive package of measures that have been always planned when we've thought about what the entirety of the scheme is.
Yes.
So we've got parameter plans that show all of the site being developed with parts of the site being protected. We're not going to go any outside of those and try and destroy any further habitats, so we won't need any more annual mitigation land.
This is what concerns me, and I think batting around the words bio net gain in this context isn't correct to do so. I think that wider remit site is significantly larger than this. It's been left to go to naturally regenerate its own course, and this small strip of land isn't going to offset the damage that's been done, in my opinion. However, I do welcome this.
Councillor Jill Hood, and then Councillor Bycroft.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Just moving on from my colleague's explanation of how he's feeling about this. It's great and I support the application, but I can't help but wonder that you talk about phase one, phase two, what type of light pollution there's going to be, because we don't know, and I hope that when the plan comes before us, that's something that's going to be addressed. But if we could just have a look at image 3, please, Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
This is my, that's the one, this is my concern about those tyre tracks there. And we have that wonderful bridge, and I think about the bridge that's just a little way down that goes directly onto the Methods site, and how many times we've had to repair that. And looking at this image, it says in 10.3 that the maximum of approximately 3 metres, which I presume is the width of the vehicles, and something that puzzles me, the number of estimated HGVs accessing the site will be below 10. Is this a day, a week, a year?
Have a technical note to you, Councillor Hood.
Thank you.
Okay.
Because if we've got vehicles which, those tyre tracks look huge, and while we were there on that site visit, we've got the vans coming and going. We know there were quite a lot. They were having no problem going over the bridge. But I'm looking at a vehicle of what must be quite a size, maybe a farm vehicle, I don't know. Could be a plant vehicle.
Just,
what does that mean?
It's a caterpillar excavator.
Thank you, that's big.
Councillor Brian Cross?
Yeah, I think we have to remember.
Sorry. Are you just getting into your stride?
No, I just wanted to know, and I was just stating that what is this 10 vehicles? What does it mean?
So the technical note says over the first 2 days mobilisation and end of works, one or two road going JCB type excavators driven to and onto the site. One or two small dumpers, flatbed delivery, and offloaded directly into the works area. One lorry delivery of fencing for tree protection, one delivery of site welfare. And then the next point, daily journeys during works duration, estimated 4 weeks. Maximum of 4-person trips daily in a car or combi van. Occasional client supervisory visits in a car. Other deliveries, estimated 2 lorry deliveries mid-works of hibernacular construction materials. mental block on that word today, sorry. That's in the... I mean, I think you want a copy of this.
I do have concerns with the bridge, but I'm sure that plans have been put in place to make sure that there is no damage done, because it's obvious that they have had some big vehicles. Thank you. I have finished now. Thank you,
Jeff. Thank you. Brian Cross.
Yes, Jim. Am I right in saying that the Method site is part of our local plan for providing space for the development of industry, etc., and it provides a very large proportion of the number of hectares we have to provide each year or whenever under the local plan? The fact that it's rewilded because it's been stuck for so long is a condition that I think we've got to accept, that the company are trying to alleviate or mediate to try and make a difference so they can go ahead with the original application to develop that site for the intention shown in the local plan.
Absolutely.
And in view of that, I'd like to support this application and propose we accept it with the conditions listed.
Thank you, Councillor Cross.
I second that.
Seconded by Councillor Gareth Jones and Councillor Marnie Phillips, do you wish to speak?
Well, thank you, Councillor Hood. I actually have exactly the same question written down there, saying how often, daily, weekly, monthly? Is there nothing that we can do to maybe put a condition in? So if the bridge is damaged by any of this movement, that it will be repaired by the developer?
Well, the Canal and Rivers Trust did recommend a condition to for the monitoring of the structural integrity of the bridge, but as we saw on site, National Grid operatives from the substation, they use the bridge, the farmer uses the bridge. I think that would be a owner responsibility to pursue that if damage was caused.
Okay.
So basically the Canal Rivers Trust would pursue St Modwen for any damage done to the bridge.
Okay. It's not the smaller vehicles, it's more the lorry that's coming, or a couple of lorries that are going over there. I think that's where the problems, if there were going to be any, potentially going to lie.
I think there would have been a greater concern if this was a larger development, but given the nature of the works, small scale, small duration period of the works, estimated 4 weeks, we didn't feel that would be reasonable in this case. It could be a case of just kind of an asset protection policy from Canal Rivers Trust.
Chairman, I think that the bridge, the other side of this development that Councillor Hood was referring to, that there is a very much more significant commercial traffic there than there would ever be in relation to this.
I agree.
And I think that we could be reasonable. Accidents can happen, but I think from what's been described, I don't think the risk is that significant.
Right, so we do have a proposal to approve by Councillor Brian Cross and supported by Councillor Gareth Jones. We're going to take a vote on that. All those in favour of approving, subject to those conditions, please show. Everyone, thank you very much. Thank you. The meeting is closed. Thank you for your attendance today.